Blog Talk Radio.
It is time for Around the Nest, Jay talking our way around the Blue Jays minor league organization, affiliate to affiliate. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strasser with the Lansing Lugnuts, but if you tuned in last week, you heard a different host. You heard Jim Tarabocchia, which was really the first time in years that Around the Nest has had anyone other than me hosting the show. Let me bring in Jim Tarabocchia immediately, the voice of the Dunedin Blue Jays, the Blue Jays A-Advanced affiliate. Jim, how was last week hosting Around the Nest?
Yeah, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. I gave my little spin on things, and it was a lot of fun, man. I'll tell you what, Max Scherzer and getting that black eye, it really gave me some good material. So thanks, Max. I don't know, but it was good. No, it was good, and it was. I'm glad I got a chance to talk with some of my excellent colleagues there, and get a chance to see what's going on at some different levels.
All right, let's talk about your DJs, and let's first begin with the return. Welcome back, Cullen Large.
Yeah, he returned last night. He was activated off the 7-day injured list yesterday, right before the game, and it is really good to see him back in uniform. You know, I remember when he got hurt. It was in Bradenton in early June. He dove for a ball to his right towards the line behind the third base bag. And you heard it as the ball was rolling down the line, you heard a screech and a scream almost, and some expletives as well. And then I see him after the play was over, and he's holding his wrist. He throws down his glove and his hat because he's, you know, obviously very frustrated. And I'm wondering if he hurt his wrist. And I got worried about that because then, you know, right away, who knows, the wrist injury. And I come to find out later it was actually a shoulder problem. And I realized later that he was holding his wrist because it was almost like he was holding his shoulder in place just in case, the worst did happen. So luckily that wasn't the case. And he's back rehabbing. He rehabbed with Bluefield. And he's back with us here in Advanced Day Dunedin. He's hit safely in 21 of his last 34 games, going back to April 30th. So, it's good to have him back in the lineup because the offense, despite winning the other night, has been a little bit flat here in this series against St. Lucie. And now coming up, big series this weekend against Daytona. In Daytona, only a game and a half up in the standings and the Florida State League North Division in the second half, albeit the Blue Jays did clinch in the first half, but, nevertheless. So it's good to have him back and provides a little bit more pop for that lineup.
When you're looking for pop in your lineup, you're getting it right now from a guy who had been slumping the majority of the season up until recently, and then Demi Ormaloy stepped up. And let me try pronouncing his entire name. Here we go. Oluwadamilade, Oluwadamilola, Ormaloy, born in Lagos, Nigeria, and then grew up in Ottawa. And over the course of a 7-game hitting streak, he collected 14 hits. He had 4 different 2-hit games. He had 1 3-hit game. What have you been seeing from Demi during that hot stretch?
Yeah, I think a lot of it goes back to his work in the beginning of this month and even back into late May, where he's been working with hitting coach Matty Young to shorten that swing a little bit. I think from where he was getting into his loading position to getting to the point of contact, I think that's where he really got long. And the bat path and the barrel path, quite frankly, was just not very efficient, especially for this level and this pitching in this league and how hard guys throw every single night. I mean, he wasn't really able to catch up to that fastball in the beginning because of that. And it was just a flaw in his mechanics. And I think because of that, not being able to catch up to the fastball, he was cheating a little bit, and he's getting fooled on breaking pitches. Well, I mean, he's worked very hard to make that adjustment, and it's really shown, and his power is still there. And I said this in the beginning of the year about Demi, and I still hold to it, that he is a great athlete, moves well, he's built well. He's got just natural power and pop. I mean, his upper body is built. He has a lot of strength. His lower body is well built. So the natural strength and athleticism was there. I think it was just now time to clean things up at the plate And correct what I thought, and I, you know, I again, I'm not a hitting coach, so I could be wrong. But from what I thought was his biggest flaw in his bat path, not being as consistent as it should be at this level and getting a little bit long and shortening his swing, and correcting that problem has allowed him to have a quicker attack angle to the baseball, and I think it's really done him well. And he's not getting fooled as bad on breaking pitches and off speed pitches, and because of that, he's also getting on base via the walk as well, and he's putting together good plate appearances. That's been a big thing as well with him. So I'm happy to see that with him. I always had high hopes with him coming into the year. He's struggled, obviously, and he'll tell you, you know, he struggled pretty badly in the first month of the season. But patience is paying off. His hard work is paying off. The adjustments that he's made are paying off as well. And I'm glad to see him having as much success as he has had here in this stretch.
Let me wrap up with Jim Tarabocchia with the A-Advance Dunedin Blue Jays. I want to ask you about what I felt to be the best pitching performance of the week by anybody at any level of the Blue Jays organization. How good was Joey Murray on that 12-strikeout, one-run, six-inning appearance?
Yeah, Joey was you know, as good as I've seen him. You know, I think with him, a lot of it is just spotting up that fastball well. And using his breaking stuff at the right time. You know, I think he tunnels pretty well. Because of that, I think he doesn't always have to throw 95 or, you know, whatever, 96 miles an hour. He's a mature pitcher. He has a plan. And another guy who you know, has come in here to Advanced Day Dunedin, really hasn't changed much of his routine, has worked well with our pitching coach, Jim Sykowski, and that 12-strikeout game, right now at this point of the season, has been his peak, I think, even going back to when you guys, the Class A level. And, you know, having a guy like that to be able to give you that trust every fifth day. And right now I think we have that in everybody, in the entire rotation. But to be able to have a guy like that go out there, and Al Geyer's the same way, he's pitching tonight, knowing in your mind, and I think the coaching staff would agree with this, that these guys give you a chance to win every fifth day that they pitch. It's a huge, huge plus. And it really takes a lot of weight off the shoulders of the offense when it's not going as well as it has in these last three games. I mean, with right now, as it stands, and I think, you know, obviously Murray has contributed to this as well, the starting pitching staff has tossed at least five innings in now eight straight games and 10 of their last 12. And Murray's been a part of that. You know, I don't need to tell you that's a huge plus for any team going out there every night, knowing that your pitcher has a chance to do that. So, you know, that to me with Joey Murray to have that 12 strikeout game, that was really impressive. And he just kind of continued the trend of very good starting pitching.
Jim Tarabocchia, the broadcaster for the Jays A-Advanced affiliate in the Florida State League, the playoff bound Dunedin Blue Jays. Jim, thank you very much.
Jesse, thank you. Talk to you next week, buddy.
At Jim Tara on Twitter. And as we move downward on the ladder, but the show becomes the chest from Jim, let me bring in the nation, because no man is an island, but one man is a nation. Rob Fay, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. You will never do better when it comes to introductions.
The voice of the Vancouver Canadiens, who've opened up this season. All right, so things have not gone quite as you wanted them to go. The record is 3-11. Rob, your impressions so far from 2 weeks of C's baseball?
Execution. If I was to dwindle it down to one word, Jesse, it is execution. The Canadiens have been really good at getting guys on base. There's no doubt about it. They've actually exceeded what they did in 2018 as far as getting guys on base and putting runners in scoring position. But that's kind of where they dropped the ball. They just haven't been able to cash in runs. 75 runners in scoring position have been left on base through the first 14 games of this season. And you can talk about the fatigue maybe of some of the drafted players like Cameron Eden, who's come through, Trevor Schwenke. There's a few guys that, of course, have played already 45, 50, 60 games before getting here, but it's the second-year guys that are still struggling. McGregory Contreras is a guy that is hitting 211 coming into our game today. And those are the kind of players, Brett Wright, for example, a catcher who last year was an afterthought and now is our marquee guy behind home plate. Those are the guys that you're looking at saying, all right, it's your second tour of duty. What do you got? And right now, across the board, the Canadians offensively are struggling.
How good has Yorman Rodriguez been, though?
Yorman is gap to gap right now, and I think that's actually a positive for him because the last time that we saw him, he kept trying to hit the ball 500 feet, and I think the MO on Yorman was that he had a lot of power and that he was going to be a guy that was going to be able to put up some pretty sexy numbers. But as he shortened up his swing and really just simplified his game, Jesse, I think the one thing that you're starting to see is that he's a very good contact hitter. And they've played the shift on him a couple of times. They did so down at Hillsborough. And he was able to go opposite and really take that outside fastball, even a breaking pitch on the other half, and just fist it against the shift. So little details with Yorman. Part of the reason right now he's amongst the league leaders in batting average, hitting .381.
Among the college draftees that you've got at the top of the order, Cameron Eden, a Trevor Schwecke, a Tanner Morris, Will Robertson, is there one of those guys, or maybe more, that they have shown you something in glimpses that you're saying, this is something I'm looking forward to seeing more of in the future?
Yeah, there definitely is. And as much as Will Robertson out of Creighton has struggled, you look at the body and the physique and you say that's eventually going to play. He's hitting .167 so far, but last night in Everett, he hit two towering fly balls to the deepest part of the ballpark. And even though on the scorecard it goes down as 0-for-2, he's starting to get that swing right. And I think he's going to be somebody in the second half that will do pretty good things for us. But one guy that I've circled right from the get-go is Trevor Schwecke. He was a 13th rounder this year out of Wisconsin. Reminds me a lot of Shane Opitz. For those guys in the Blue Jay system that remember Shane, he played with us back in 2011. Very similar, both in their physique, the way that they play, the position that they play, and the way that they attack a fastball. Schwecke, for me, has probably been offensively the brightest light that we've seen so far. And when it comes to pitching, Parker Kiraithi is a guy out of Ole Miss University that we took this year in the 21st round. Yesterday came into a baseball game, got roughed up a little bit, but the thing that I like about him is he was a closer at Ole Miss. He was actually fifth on their all-time mark for saves with 20, and he is a guy right now that's got the eye of the tiger. And one of the things that I think this Canadiens team needs, because it's almost like they're a toothless organization right now. They've got the ability, they just don't know how to attack. And all of a sudden you add a guy like Parker into the fray, and I think he gives them a little, swagger, which is something this Canadiens team desperately needs.
Tell Casey Kendall, keep the boys up, keep those chins up. A question from the minor leaguer from Bluebird Banter. Do you have any big plans for Canada Day coming up next week?
Well, there's no doubt, and one of the things that we really appreciate is being Canada's only affiliated minor league team. I mean, we're called the Canadians, so we got to do Canada Day well. The thing that I like is that game has been sold out for months. It is a foregone conclusion that you're going to get 6,400 out to Napa-Ely Stadium for that game. And I think really with the Canadians scuffling, this is going to be a good moment for them. They're home for 9 of their next 12 games. They just rumbled back up the interstate last night. And I think when you see this crowd that's supporting you, even when you're struggling out of the gate to the tune of 3-11 so far, I think that maybe gives you a little second wind to realize that you're not doing it on your own. These guys will very quickly dip for the 4th of July back down in the States, but then they'll zip right back up. So, you know, pomp and circumstance, of course, we'll have it. We'll have the big video board presentation, and, you know, we'll try to get everybody, you know, maybe a tear in their eye. But more than anything, I think this is just where the Canadians who have gotten off to a bit of a slow start realize that they're not alone and this hometown fan base isn't going anywhere. We've got 6 sellouts in our next 7 games.
And that's against the Hillsborough Hops. Rob, stomp those greats. Thank you very much for joining me at Rob Fay Nation on Twitter. This is a pleasure.
My pleasure always, Jesse.
All right. And from Rob, voice of the seas, let's go to Zach Helton with the advanced rookie level Bluefield Blue Jays. The first time that I'm having a chance to talk to Zach talking Bluefield Blue Jays baseball. Zach, how are you?
We're doing good, Jesse. How about you?
I'm good. Zach and I actually had the chance to meet up in person, which is something that us broadcasters, we all listen to each other, we all support each other, but we all exist as voices in the air. And then I got to meet the great Zach Helton last December at the winter meetings out in Vegas. So just putting a face to the voice, this is a pleasure. And now I get to say to you, looking over your Bluefield Blue Jays, what are your thoughts?
Well, I want to go first and foremost to apologize for what I look like in person, Jesse. I know the voice is a little different, but I'm glad that we got to meet in person. We had a great time in Vegas. And, well, the Jays here in Bluefield off to a slow start. 3-6 coming into tonight. They'll host Burlington for 3. But I've got some eyes out here. I think we've got a couple of good kids that's about to turn over a new leaf. And they're new to pro ball, and I think they're just on the cusp of getting things in the right direction.
I want to ask you about the younger ones, the real big prospects, if you look at any of the lists, but that's in just a second. First, every single year, there are some college guys who arrive in Bluefield and tear it up. What are your thoughts on, for example, Spencer Horwitz?
Yeah, Spence last night had his first professional home run. He is a Radford guy, so he's not very far from where he went to college. We actually were in Pulaski there last weekend, which is almost walking distance from Radford. So, yeah, Spence is very tuned to the Appalachian region, and he's coming in pretty hot. He's among the league leaders in average. He's sitting up in the 390s right now. Had his, like I said, his first professional home run last night. He's on a 7-game hitting tear. And Luis Hurtado, Horwitz is listed as an infielder, but had Spence out last night in left field. I think he'll play about 6 or 7 positions this year, and probably DH a lot too, as long as he can keep his hitting hot.
How about Angel Camacho now, another top 10 round pick, a college guy, and a guy who's performing very well offensively early.
Yeah, Camacho is an interesting guy. I got to talk to him a little bit yesterday. He's about 4 credits shy of his MBA, so he's a smart kid, and I've been pitching him small business ideas on and off the air, just seeing if something would stick and maybe we could team up that way. But he's come on, he's always out on the field getting extra work with Hurtado, so he's bought in to professional ball. He's got a nice glove at third, and he seems to be taking just his in stride from hitting in Jacksonville now in Bluefield. It nothing really has kind of faltered there. It's just kind of seamlessly transitioned, and he's on pace to have a good year as well.
Keep on pitching. You're only 9 games into the season. At some point, you're going to hit on a winner. At that point, all of us might want to ride your coattails. All right, the youngsters, the top prospects, Miguel Araldo or Leonardo Jimenez, or even let me throw in an Addison Barger, who was taken very high in the draft in 2018. Any of those 3 guys jump out at you for any reason?
I tell you what, Miguel Giraldo is he's very similar with the glove as Luis De Los Santos was last year, a little bit shorter in stature, but he is so smooth at shortstop and fun to watch. I think once his hitting comes along, he's going to be a complete player. And you mentioned Addison Barger. He Miguel just look seamless at second, turning double plays. They look like a good double play combo. And those 2 guys have been fun to watch. You know, it's early, game 10 tonight, so a lot of the guys still trying to piece things together. The pitching, like you mentioned, it's been hit or miss. Some nights the pitching's been there, but the hitting has not. Likewise, the hitting's been there a few times and the pitching has not. So it's just been one of those things. This team's young. They're, you know, barely off the bus here in Bluefield, and they're just starting to put things together.
Is the Bluefield area, does everybody in the city and the surrounding neighborhood and maybe even the league miss Dennis Holmberg?
I don't know about everyone in Bluefield. A lot of people in Bluefield do. I do, even though Luis Hurtado has been tremendous to me. We text back and forth almost every day, and he's letting me know what's going on in the clubhouse and what he's working on. But Dennis, you know, he was Mr. Blue Jay. You know, he showed up in town when the Blue Jays did right after the Orioles left. And that was the face of the Blue Jays organization here in Bluefield for the longest time. So I talked to Dennis there late last year, I think right after the winter meetings maybe. He's doing fine in Florida, as you would suspect. And we're kind of glad he's kind of heading off down his final few steps of his career down close to home. But, you know, Luis Hurtado, he's picking up right where Dennis left off, and I think a little bit of young enthusiasm is going to be great for this club this season.
That's beautiful. You tell Hurt that you spoke with me. And Zach, really good to speak with you. Hear all about Bluefield today and throughout the rest of your season. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Z_Helton on Twitter, Zach Helton, the voice of the Bluefield Blue Jays. the Toronto Blue Jays Appy League affiliate, and they are loaded once again this year with talent. Now let me bring you up to the Midwest League. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We're Jay-talking our way around the organization. I'm joined now by the guy who joins me every night on the airwaves, Adam Jaxes. We call Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Jesse. What's going on with you?
Well, let's talk some Lansing Lugnuts. And let's begin with this for the Lugnuts. First, the All-Star Game occurred, and there were five Lugnuts who participated in that All-Star Game, and now two of them have already gone up. Josh Winkowski, Nick Podpool moving up to A Advanced Dunedin, and the guys who remained, Jake Brote, Ryan Gold, Kobe Johnson. Let's begin with Kobe Johnson. Yesterday set a career high with innings pitched, six innings in all. What did you see from him?
Well, Jesse, I saw him face adversity really well. He opened that game, and you and I were discussing it in the pregame show that the key for him would be to get off to a good start because he works so fast. When he gets in a rhythm, he really does a nice job. But that was completely erased when he gave up four runs on four hits and saw eight batters in the opening frame. So you and I were kind of wondering what's going to happen right now. But then he settled in, as you mentioned. He goes the longest stint of his career, six innings. Through the next five innings, he allowed just two hits, had three strikeouts, and no walks. So I really saw him compete yesterday. He locked in, he forgot about that first inning, and then just pitched the way that he has pitched. And when he's been on this season, he's been rolling. And after that lengthy first inning, immediately he set down six straight through the second and the third, worked around a couple of hits in the fourth, and then was effortless in the fifth and the sixth. So it was really good to see him find that rhythm even after early struggles in that opening inning.
I mentioned all of those All-Stars for the Lugnuts. There was one player who was certainly going to be an All-Star, and then he got hurt, and then he came back. And there was an on-base streak before he was hurt, and that on-base streak has continued. Let's talk Otto Lopez, because his on-base streak right now is up to 27 games. He came back with a bang in Dayton.
Yes, he did, Jesse. I mean, it was like he didn't miss a beat when he came back. And normally you see guys struggle or take them a little bit to get going again. Not him, though. The first pitch that he saw in Dayton, he homered to left field. It was a great swing. He got a fastball. And then he continued. He got two hits the next day and two hits the following day. So Otto Lopez right now on a stretch of 27 games on base in a row. That's the longest streak for a Lansing Lugnut this season. And for the second time in the on-base streak, he's on a seven-game hitting streak. This hasn't been a cheap on-base streak. Only four times throughout the on-base streak has he not gotten a hit. And again, the second time that he's put together seven straight with hits. And there's been multiple times where he's getting two or three hits, or he's getting a couple hits and walking once or twice. So really good to see him, one, come back. As you mentioned, the addition of or the promotion of Nick Podkul. The Lugnuts were missing some infielders. And Otto Lopez, their third baseman, Johnny Aiello, just came back. Jordan Groshans is still down, the shortstop. So great to see both Lopez and the third baseman, Johnny Aiello, come back because they needed some depth on that side of the infield. But Otto has been tremendous to watch. Even going down, he's picked up right where he left off.
There was another tremendous performance that occurred in Dayton. I'm talking about Fitz Stadler. Stadler and Kobe Johnson had been serving as a piggybacking tandem. Well, they're now getting split apart. Johnson started yesterday. Stadler started today, or starting today. But that was the last time that they actually piggybacked together. Stadler started, Johnson relieved. How good was Stadler in Dayton?
And he was excellent, Jesse. I mean, he had a perfect game through four innings. He had struck out three. And then after he exited in the fifth, he walked a guy and gave up a base hit, and that was it. He worked out of it with a double play and then got the final out. But he was throwing strikes. I think that was the big key for him. He got ahead of 90% of the batters that he faced. And you know how much easier it is when you get ahead of a guy. You've got a lot of options for what you want to try and do to attack that hitter. And Stadler was doing so. He was mixing his pitches well. He was commanding his fastball. And I think we saw the potential of what the Blue Jays saw when they picked Fitz Stadler. So he's actually going to be starting again tonight for the Lansing Lugnuts. And he's been piggybacking throughout the entire first half. Tonight, because of the promotions in the starting rotation, Joey Murray earlier in the year, Josh Winkowski recently, the Lugnuts are a little bit thinner in the starting staff right now. So because of that, Stadler's going to get the opportunity to just work by himself tonight. There won't be a piggyback starter behind him, which means if we would have gone back to his last outing on Saturday against Dayton, they wouldn't have needed to pull him after five innings to bring in Kobe Johnson. So if he can put together back-to-back good performances, maybe he can stretch it out a little bit and go to the sixth or maybe the seventh inning tonight. But certainly excited about what we saw from the 6'9 Stadler on Saturday in Dayton, because he was incredible.
Speaking with Adam Jacks of the Lansing Lugnuts on Around the Nest as we jay-talk our way around the Blue Jays minor league system. Adam, what else has stood out to you recently about this Lansing Lugnuts squad? It's been a couple of weeks since we spoke to you on Around the Nest.
Yeah, for sure. I think the one thing is we still haven't seen that leap yet of consistency for the Lugnuts. They didn't make the first half, and now early on in the second half, I think the big thing that we're looking for with Lansing is, can we get that consistency out of the starting pitching staff? They've had some guys like a Kobe Johnson yesterday that put together five innings, or a Fitz Stadler on Saturday that put together five really good innings, but then they'll come back and they'll struggle. They have the hitters on this team with a Reggie Pruitt starting to get going once again, Griffin Conine, Gabriel Moreno, Otto Lopez, all batting over 300. They've got a solid middle core of their order. It's all about the pitching right now for Lansing. So I don't know if it's what I've seen, but more of what I'm looking forward to. Can Lansing become more consistent with the starters that they have and start to expect those guys to come out and help you get wins every 5 days? If they can start to have that consistency and those good performance on a regular basis from their starters, this is a team that certainly can make a run. But that's, I think, Jesse, the big thing we're missing to this point, and hopefully it'll start coming here in the next couple of weeks.
All right, we'll keep our eye to it. Adam, thank you very much. At Adam Jaxa on Twitter, calling Lansing Lugnuts games with me. And Adam, I'll be back on air with you tonight.
Sounds good. Can't wait. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, and from Adam, let's jump all the way up to AAA. Let me bring in the voice of the herd, Pat Mollicaro. Pat, how are you?
Oh, things are good, Jesse. The Bisons are about to start a six-game homestand, which culminates in one of our biggest nights at home this year, July 3rd, Independence Eve. So things are good. Bisons are playing some of the best baseball in the International League here in the month of June, winning 16 of the last 21. So things are good in Herdland right now.
That's what I'm looking at. I pulled up a June calendar, and there I'm seeing June 6th win, June 7th win, June 8th win. There's a win on June 11th and the 12th and the 13th and the 15th, the 16th, the 19th, the 20th. You won twice on June 21st, the doubleheader sweep over Norfolk, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and onward. How much fun are you having on the airwaves?
Oh, it's been a blast. And for a team that had only scored 10 or more runs four times going into the road trip into Indianapolis, which I believe started on June 12th. The Bisons then scored 10 or more six times in a 14-day window. So the offense is clicking, and I really think that says a lot about this team. And as you look at the game-by-game results, it was a doubleheader sweep at the hands of Scranton Wilkes-Barre, where the Rail Riders not only won both games, but shut Buffalo out, both of them, 3-0 and 4-0. And this team didn't pack it in. This team didn't give up on the year. They came back, and it was like a fire was lit underneath them. Pitching has been very good. The hitting has been very good as well. And you know, there's a lot of things that you can point to and say this is a team that is led by some veterans. They're loose. They're having fun. And the young guys are really feeding off of that.
There's a question posted on Bluebird Banter. The Bisons are 15-5 since the introduction of the newest WCC race mascot, Fish Fry. What is Fish Fry's secret?
Well, I mean, part of it is all that goes into the Fish Fry. It'll be here at the ballpark tonight as part of the WCC race. New introduction this year, so I know fans are going to have fun with that. And, you know, it's something that in Western New York, people really love the Fish Fry, and it's something that on Fridays during Lent, especially around here, people go out of their way. They'll go miles around just to get a good one. So introducing it this year after Beef on Weck last year was a nice little surprise.
The fun thing in talking with you, Pat, is that I can read a ton of different insights and perspectives on things from the Blue Jays' perspective. For example, Jordan Romano goes up to the major leagues. He impresses. He gets sent back down. And then from the Blue Jays' perspective, I can hear, this was unjust. Jordan deserved to stay up here. Here's how good he was. We can't wait to get him back. Well, now I get to ask you from your perspective, being in Buffalo, where Jordan is now a part of the Bisons, have you had the chance to speak with him?
Yeah, I chatted with him once he came back down. And I think, you know, it's still that kind of honeymoon period, so to speak, where, look, he's a kid who grew up in Markham, just a couple of miles away from Rogers Center. So just to get to this point and to be back with the organization after, you know, being a Rule 5 pick this past winter and being outside of the organization for a couple of months, to be back and to be in the big leagues, I think he understands that it's just a numbers game at this point. And if you're a 25-man guy with options, that you might be on the shuttle a little bit. But if you pitch well at this level, you can go back up. And he did just that yesterday against Scranton Wilkes-Barre, which, you know, was a good litmus test for the Bisons in terms of how they fare in terms of the top teams in the International League. And he got himself out of a jam in the seventh inning and helped preserve the win. So for Jordan Romano, I think it's just continue to throw the way he has as a reliever. That's where the Blue Jays see him the most effective. And he, after struggling a little bit with figuring out how to be a max effort guy in a one inning situation, has done a nice job of working in his slider and his fastball, and he'll be back in the big leagues. It's just a matter of when, not if.
You'd mentioned the veterans who are leading the way. Who specifically are the guys leading the way for Buffalo?
I think you can look at guys like Socrates Brito, even someone like Alan Hansen, who has not necessarily been in the starting lineup all the time, but I look at the way he has gone out, and when they've needed a couple of big hits, he struggled, but he's come up with big hits. So it's kind of leading by example on the field. You know, there's a lot of guys. It's hard to think, but Anthony Alford is a veteran on this team. Jonathan Davis is kind of a veteran now in his second year here at AAA. So you've got guys like that. And then on the pitching staff, adding someone like Ryan Fairbairn, Buddy Beauchesne over the last month or so, you know, veterans who have been in the big leagues, been around a while, and can have a lighthearted nature as well. They've been a nice addition to this team, and so you're seeing it from both perspectives of on the mound and in the field.
With Pat Malacaro, the voice of the herd, Pat, this is just a broadcasting question. You're seeing a lot of home runs. Thank you, Major League Baseball. I tuned into you and Tyler Murray calling the game in Pawtucket, in which Jonathan Davis goes yard, and Patrick Kivlahan goes yard, and JD does it again, and Kivlahan does it again. Are you now gearing yourself every single time? You know you've got home run threats. Are you saying, all right, I've got my home run call ready?
Yeah, and honestly, it, from a broadcasting perspective, it's been an adjustment period this year because, you know, my entire life watching baseball here in Buffalo that goes over 30 years, I've known the baseball to carry one way. And it took probably a good 6 weeks to see just how the ball would play. But now that we're settling into the summer months and the Bisons have hit 30 home runs now this month, the most of any month in the season, yeah, it's getting easier to figure out what's going to be a home run, what isn't, and really gear that call up. So it's been fun, and I was glad to have Tyler with me this past week. Unfortunately, rain shortened the stint with the herd for Tyler, but it was fun having him on Monday, and he got some good home runs to call, that's for sure.
Marvelous. Big games coming up. Canada Day, Independence Day Eve is going to be awesome. Pat, have some great calls, and thank you very much for joining me.
You too, Jesse. Talk to you next week.
Pat WGR on Twitter. Pat Malacaro, the voice of the AAA Buffalo Bisons. Now let's go down the ladder. While Tyler Murray was getting the call up to AAA, Tyler Zickel, the Zick, broadcasting for the AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Tyler, how are you?
Jesse, I'm fantastic. Greetings from Arm & Hammer Park on the shores of the Delaware River here in Trenton, New Jersey, after a great W for the Cats last night. And New Hampshire, like every other team in the Eastern League, looking to stick it to the Yankees affiliate tonight.
Arm & Hammer Park, how are the arms, how are the hammers for New Hampshire?
I'll say this, a big hammer last night, a couple of guys in the eighth inning. First, it was Logan Warmus, who had his first career three-hit outing in the AA level. Nice job by him coming up with the go-ahead run on base after Josh Palacios had worked a walk after 11 pitches to put the go-ahead run on board. Warmus slapped a triple into the right center field gap. He got to show off the wheels that we're coming to know and love from Logan up here at the level. And then two batters later, Kevin Smith went absolutely top tank in left field. There's a 30-foot-high wall that has some advertisements here at Arm & Hammer Park. On the first pitch of that at-bat for Kevin Smith, he went high and deep, way beyond that 30-foot wall that might still be traveling. I think it landed on the Rocky Steps in Philadelphia. But big home run for Kevin, his team-high eighth. And that was very much the hammer last night. As for the arms, Yency Diaz, another quality start. He tied the team high with 7 this year as he went 6 innings and gave up just 1 run. Justin Dillon has continued his scoreless success after his promotion from Dunedin. He got the W last night. And Jackson McClellan, you talk about being a max effort guy right off the bat. Jackson has struggled with the first couple of batters in his outings this year, but came on late with the winning run at the dish and got the out that the Cats needed to beat the Thunder here in Trenton.
It's interesting that you mentioned Jackson McClellan in particular. Jason Beret is here in town watching the Lansing Lugnuts as a special advisor, watching the pitchers, seeing how he can help. And when I asked him about players who had impressed him, Jackson McClellan was one of those names that he gave me in terms of saying, major league arm, there's just a couple more things that he needs, that he's going to be up there. How have you seen McClellan develop this year?
Well, first and foremost, it's been great to have Jackson back after he joined us last year down the stretch and became a champion with New Hampshire. And this season, obviously, he has big league stuff. He's struck out 31 guys in less than 30 innings. I'm just going off my game notes here. But as I mentioned, and as you alluded to as well, Jesse, one thing for Jackson to work on would be getting that first batter out. In 23 outings, which included last night, he has retired the first batter only 9 times. And that's one thing when you're coming into the game with the bases clear. But at the big league level, they're going to ask a guy like Jackson McClellan, who can touch 101 and change on the radar gun with that fastball. He's going to have to get that first batter he faces when he comes in the game in the big league. So for Jackson, I would circle that, you know, being ready 100%, completely stretched out when you come into the game. That fastball has a tendency to ride high when he comes in out of the bullpen. But last night really was a good sign of things to come for the Californians.
Let me circle back around to your starting offense. You mentioned how big the games were yesterday for Logan Warmuth, for Kevin Smith. These are big prospect names for the Blue Jays organization. Have you liked what you've seen from them as of late?
Lately, absolutely. And, of course, Logan playing in, I think, his 11th AA game last night after his promotion from Advanced A Dunedin. You saw when he first joined the Fisher Cats, there's obviously a little bit of a learning curve that you have to navigate when you make your way to the upper minors. And he's actually going to be my pregame show interview today after batting practice. So I'm looking forward to diving more into his thoughts about what it's been like here at AA, what he's had to make adjustments on, what he's been able to carry up from Advanced A Dunedin. But as for Kevin Smith, I think everybody, Kevin at the top of the list, knows that his first half certainly was underperformed in terms of his batting average, still under 200. But I already mentioned that he's the team leader in home runs. He's top 3 on the roster in RBI, and he comes up in big situations and finds ways to make things happen. And I think as Kevin continues to heat up, he's got 4 extra base hits on the road trip, and he has been the run producer for the Cats since they left home last Sunday. If he continues to heat up and gets to that form that we know and love from last year and did his college career at Maryland, certainly think that the Fisher Cats have a great shot at a second half title and then a postseason run to try and chase a second consecutive championship. Now, I don't want to say that the Fisher Cats go as Kevin Smith goes, but it's only positive that Kevin Smith continues to find his way at the plate. And of course, he's going to do his thing at shortstop. He has made such a clinical effort all season long, so cerebral about his offense and his defense. And if you see a ball going to the left side of the infield and Kevin's in the game, it's almost certain that he's scooping it up. So as the bat heats up, it's going to meet up with the glove, and nowhere to go but up for Kevin Smith, Logan Warmuth, and the Fisher Cats in the second half.
I love it. The Zick broadcasting AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats baseball. Do you have any plans next week for Canada Day?
Nothing planned just yet. I will say this, Jesse, in New Hampshire, in what is my 3rd season in Manchester, starting to really understand and embrace the Canadian influences in New England. And so, well, we have nothing planned of late or yet. Certainly have some stuff up our sleeves once we get back off this longest road trip in Fisher Cats history. 11 games in 10 days. We'll be back on July 4th to get it going and then right into the All-Star break.
hold on. This is the longest in Fisher Cats history?
Yes, so we can thank Bob Lippman, esteemed Fisher Cats broadcaster and team historian, for this factoid. But the Cats have played a couple of 10-game road trips along the way, but they've never played 11 games on one trip away from home. We got a doubleheader on July 2nd in Reading, which makes this 10-day, 10-game scheduled trip an 11-gamer. And if the Fisher Cats can find a way to win this series in Trenton and then take two of three, or rather three of four, maybe two of four against the Reading Fighting Phils, that's a great opportunity for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats to be back in the mix in the East. But yes, indeed, a long sojourn away from Delta Dental Stadium. But the Cats certainly looking to make it a home away from home this weekend.
Oh, wish John Moses well for me in Trenton, and then wish Kirsten well for me when you take on Reading. And best of luck. Finish off that road trip with a plum.
Indeed, I will pass your good wishes along. All the love from the guys who have come through Lansing, who are now here in New Hampshire, coming your way, especially when I mention I'm going around the nest. Caleb Daniel had to make sure he said hello. So cheers from our athletic trainer to you, Jesse. And as always, thank you very much for having me.
Those are my guys. Tyler Zickel, the Zick, at Tyler_Zickel. Online, you can find him on Twitter. And he's broadcasting New Hampshire Fisher Cats baseball on the road. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler on Twitter, at JGoldStrass. And this is Around the Nest. This is our time to go J-talking. Every Friday, we record it live and then put the podcast out there on Twitter, at Around Nest. We like to finish off each show with a conversation. And so for this week's show, why not a conversation with the Lansing Lugnuts' Otto Lopez? Last year when he joined the Vancouver Canadians, I started calling him the Otto Lopez Experience because of everything that he was doing for Rob Bay's Seas. And now this year with the Lansing Lugnuts, he is continuing to make things happen. He's a kinetic player. He walks. He gets on base with base hits. You heard from Adam Jaxa. His first swing back since coming back off the injured list, he homered in Dayton. He's reached base 27 consecutive games. He's played shortstop, second base, third base, left field. That's just this year. Over the course of his career in the minors, he's played everywhere in the infield, everywhere in the outfield. He's played everywhere but catcher. So get to know a little bit more of Otto Lopez, who speaks English, French, and Spanish, and considers both the Dominican Republic and Montreal his home. This is Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by the Lansing Lugnuts' Otto Lopez. Otto, when did you first start playing baseball?
I was start playing baseball really young. I was like 7 years old. I played in the street. Yeah, the cup of water and... It's not really baseball, but we call it, it's kind of same, right? Mm-hmm. And then I joined the team in Montreal at 11 years old.
How good was that team?
It was good. Really good, yeah. It was first time in my life where I played with the team.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What positions did you play for that team?
I was playing everywhere. I was a pitcher and batting fourth, like... I was first base, I was shortstop, second, outfield, whatever.
Everywhere?
Yeah, everywhere.
Did you play any other sports?
Yeah. I used to play basketball, and I tried hockey, and I skate sometimes, because I like to do a lot of activities that I know really well. So.
Is it true, too, that you like to play badminton?
Badminton, too, yeah. I used to play badminton at school.
Are you good?
I'm fine. I can say it. I'm really good. So.
How important is baseball in your family?
It's really important because I grew up on family baseball. So my uncle played baseball a lot. And he was not playing professional. He don't have a chance. But my family always liked baseball. They love baseball.
Why did you move to Montreal?
It was my father's decision because he was working there. And then he just bring me there for studying and got a great school station and all the stuff. I was so happy to go, so I go by myself alone. And then he bring all of my family, my mom, my older brothers, and that.
Was Montreal very different than Santo Domingo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. The weather, the cultures, for sure. And a lot of things, man. The snow, we never seen snow. So.
How did you like snow?
Yeah, I like snow, but I like because we can do a lot of activities. So.
Like what?
Like ski, who else? Like, how you call the big brother? Like,
making a snowman.
Making a snowman. Yeah.
You were 10 years old when you moved?
Yep.
And then at 14, you moved back, right?
I moved back because my uncle said that I have a chance to sign in Dominican more quicker, so, and I go there for signing.
So you went back, and did you immediately go into an academy?
Yeah, I went to the academy, Niche Team.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was not easy. I worked so hard to be the same, like those baseball players go there, so I work a lot every day, every single day, and that's where I got my first contract.
How did you get better as a baseball player at the academy?
I wake up every day like 5 a.m. and give much as I can give 100% of what I have on me, and only play baseball, like play every day and work hard as I can.
So the day comes for you to sign that contract. What was that like?
It was in 2016, on the 4th of July. I was so nervous. My family was there, and I was really happy because I like Blue Jays, so Blue Jays Canada is where I grew up a little bit. So,
How special is that? You are somebody, okay, from the Dominican Republic to Montreal, and then there in Montreal, did you become a Blue Jays fan?
Yeah, I was so happy, and I didn't know, like, after that, and I say, wow, so Montreal, Toronto is really close, so we are in Canada. It's the only team in Major League who got.
When did you make your first visit to Toronto?
I used to play a tournament like for Team Quebec.
Yeah.
And I was there. I don't remember the year, but I go to the stadium, and I just remember to the stadium when they told me, you know, there was the Manny Ramirez hit the home run. It was really high on the stand, so. No, it's so surprises.
All right, so now you've signed that professional contract. What was your first minor league baseball season like?
That I tell you, I was a little nervous, but I was in the standard, so I think it was the same thing. So just keeping work and just playing the game. Like, I know what it is.
Yeah,
and that's it. I was just a little nervous because it was my first year as a professional. So
that first year, you're playing in the Gulf Coast League.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, they tell you and they tell some of the other players, you're going to Lansing. What did they tell you? What did they say it was going to be like?
I was like, oh my God, that's a big step. But I never know it was just to play like with the high school, like university here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, there's a lot of people here. I never played with a lot of people like that. So, just play baseball. And I was playing center field. It was my five position on the. I never didn't think that I was playing center field, but I played center field.
So they put you in center field,
yeah.
Crosstown showdown, you against Michigan State. That was the biggest crowd you had ever played in front of?
Yeah, that was the biggest stands.
And then, then into the offseason, and then the next year, you start off in Bluefield, and you play, what, 5 games in Bluefield before going up to Vancouver? How good was the start of last year for you?
Yeah, it was, I was surprising too, because I didn't think to go there so fast, but I worked hard that day. The 2 days were because I got a hurt in my shoulder, and I don't think it was, and I was moving to Vancouver, But after those two games, 6-for-5 and 3-for-5, they move up for Nick Podko because he got hurt in their head. Mm-hmm. And I remember they tell me, like, Danny Homer, he say, you go for a few days, maybe a week or 2 weeks. And now it's, if I go there, I'm not going to come back. So I do my job, and I'm staying there, and I was really happy because it was my second season there.
They told you you're going to be up there for 2 weeks,
yeah.
And you stayed the entire rest of the season, and you were named a Northwest League postseason All-Star. How did that make you feel?
That would make you proud for all my work. I was so proud of my work and what I do in Durant, the standard and the spring training. So,
you said rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays, they were Canada's only major league team. It was great that they signed you. Vancouver's Canada's only minor league team. Was it special then to be playing for the Seas?
He was in Canada, so I was really happy to. It was special for me playing in Canada, in Montreal, and Vancouver, sorry.
So last year ends. What did you work on in the off season?
I was working on my hitting so far, so it's there's a lot of things that I was working on, and I got a lot of pressure on that, so I'm surprised to be working on that and show that what can I do here, and that's it.
So you arrive at spring training. They send you here to the Lansing Lugnuts. Is Lansing the same way that you remember it from 2 years ago? Any differences?
Oh, I just remember when I come here, I was with the Magua. We call Magua. Like
the Gregory Contreras.
Yes. I was with him, and he taught me, how can we play with this cold here, baseball?
Yes.
I was so surprised because it was really cold. Yeah.
Okay, how is that to play in this cold weather?
I'm not thinking to play, but we playing, and he was baseball, so I just say if they can play, I can play, so why don't I play? So I play the baseball.
And finally, for Otto Lopez, aside from baseball, what else do you love to do?
Oof. I like a lot of things to do. I like hang out with my family, like meet peoples. I like make new sports. I like ski. I used to play hockey in school, but I'm now really good at that. I play goalie, so yeah.
You weren't that good at being a goalie?
Yeah, because I think it was so I play baseball, so why can't I be catcher here?
Same thing, right?
Yeah,
catching a puck, catching a baseball.
Yeah.
Otto Lopez, merci beaucoup.
De rien.
Otto Lopez, Lansing Lugnuts infielder. If we need you in the outfield, wherever, we've got you. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
And that'll end this week's edition of Around the Nest. Thank you so much for coming around the Blue Jay system with me. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strasser. Let's go all the way to the bottom and work our way up. Big thanks to Zach Helton with the Bluefield Blue Jays, to Rob Fay with the Vancouver Canadians, Adam Jackson with the Lansing Lugnuts, Jim Tarabocchio with the Dunedin Blue Jays, Tyler Zickel with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, and Pat Molitaro with the Buffalo Bisons. Big thanks as well to Hayden Godfrey and the Minor Leaguer and the Bluebird Banter. Once again, you can find us on Twitter @AroundNest. Until next week, you enjoy the baseball.